Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
Hey, everybody. Wow. It's me, Jenny.
And me, Kristen.
Before we get started with today's episode, we have some stuff to talk to you about.
Yeah, Jenny, you weren't here 2 weeks ago and a week before that, so we're like way past this announcement, but did you hear a rumor that Buffy the Vampire Slayer is getting a reboot?
What?
You mean she's finally getting a new pair of boots?
She
after all this time, Kate is going to be so excited.
Yeah, finally a new pair of boots for Kate to talk about.
But I just wanted to give you a minute to like have a moment here with all of us. We've been having a lot of feelings all around, and yep, I don't know what yep, yours yep. are.
Well, okay. I've been seeing, like, obviously a lot of people having a variety of feelings about this all over the internet, and here's what I can say.
Yeah, what can you say?
I am a natural-born optimist, and I am going to hope for the best, and if it's not what we all want...
Right.
Then I will mourn it. But for right now, I'm just like, okay, I'm going to hold out hope that this is great. I mean, I think, like, obviously, I think you guys talked, you and Joanna talked.
Yeah,
right?
So if you don't know this already, Joanna Robinson and I sat down and we did a special episode right after the reboot was announced that is both on our Buffering Patreon page and also on Joanna's Storm of Spoilers Patreon page. So if you're a patron of either of ours, you have that episode where we talk a little bit more in depth about things, but...
I think as, like, a lover of any franchise, probably this news, like, could spark a lot of conflicting feelings.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people are, like, stoked that Joss Whedon is attached. I think a lot of people are bummed that Joss Whedon is attached. I think there would be bummed people either way.
Oh, yeah. That tide would have gone the same way regardless of the choice made there.
I'm interested to see, like, what his actual involvement is. I mean, I think, like... Between him and, like, the Kazooies, they sort of, like, have the umbrella over the property, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like, I don't know. I'm really interested in this showrunner.
Yeah, 100%.
That's going to be making it. And there's something weird. There's something that feels weird. Like, I think you all touched on this. Like, the name is in the property.
Right.
Buffy is in the name of the intellectual property. So you... I guess can't make a reboot that's going to be instantly identifiable as part of the property
unless
without...
you call it
right. So, like, is this going to be a Buffy the Vampire Slayer?
No. I mean, we learned that it's not. I mean, well, you do mean that this new Slayer will be named Buffy?
That's what I'm saying.
I see. Right. That would be,
like,
weird.
That's curious. I'm just, like, really interested to see what happens.
If you're following Monica Osuwu-Breen, who is the showrunner, you probably saw her statement that came out after Joanna and I taped, which sort of put some of the initial fears to rest and also really showcased her as a massive fan of Buffy.
Right.
Which, you know, again, you know, I'm with you. I'm not ready to, like, toss it. I'm definitely aware of the fact that it's never going to be what the original was. But I do think that there's some power in saying, I know it's not going to be what the original was. Maybe shit will be done right. Maybe. Are the odds high? Probably not. But, like, let's all wait. Let's all see and go from there.
Yeah, I mean, I am interested. I am hopeful. There's no way to know until it exists, like, what exactly they have in store for us.
Right. Well, I just wanted everyone here to get to hear your little voice on it as well, and us
Did
together.
You just call my voice Lil?
Lil voice. Your Lil voice. Well, you are a woman, so.
Oh, my God. The patriarchy thunderclap, evil laugh, organ music.
So, obviously, Jenny and I will continue to follow what's happening as that unfolds and see where it'll take us and this whole journey, too. It's just a mystery on every level. Meanwhile, A few pieces of news before we get into today's episode. First, just a reminder that we have added a new level on Patreon. It's a $25 level, and it is a level that comes with exclusive merchandise. I tell you this because I think it's fun, but also because you only have until the end of August to become a $25 patron to get the first round of merch. We already know that the t-shirt is going to say Giles in the streets, Ripper in the sheets. And we are voting on a pin right now, and the pin is either going to say the council is trash or support your local alewife. So if you pledge in August, you will receive that merch exclusively at the end of September. And then if you miss August, don't worry, you can still pledge, and there'll be another round of exclusive merch and voting happening in a few months as well. So that's what I have to say about Patreon. What do you have to say, Jenny?
I have to say that have you ever listened to Angel on Top?
I have.
Our sister podcast, hosted by the incredible Brittany Ashley and the glorious Laura Zach. They are two friends of ours, two friends of each other, two brilliant minds housed in two perfect human bodies. They are doing such a great job. I feel like every episode I'm like even more excited.
Yeah, same.
They're just delighting the crap out of me. Thank you for making a great podcast. Ooh. That goes along with our podcast. Ooh. Sense and Sensitivity. Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Sense and Sensitivity was last week's episode. And first of all, it's a great episode of Angel. Second of all, something happens
yes.
in the podcast yes. that you have to hear.
I want you to know that it delighted me. So Brittany Ashley reads a list of the
every role that two of the actors in this episode have played.
Yes. And it's just a bunch of really ridiculous Italian stereotypical names that are so funny. And they delighted me so much, Jenny, that Brittany actually sent me a private voice memo of another actor's
what?
Italian names. So I'm pushing for this to be its own podcast. Just yeah, an episode yeah, yeah. a week of Brittany reading the Italian names that Italian
it's
actors
like
play.
Literally every character is either Sal, Vinny,
Tony.
Or Tony.
Mm-hmm.
And all their last names are like al dente, spaghetti,
carbonara.
It's so ludicrous.
It's really, really ridiculous. So anyway, right. Angel on Top, besides the Italian names in lists, is really fun. And
it's so great. And they've got the bachelor party coming up next week, which is also a great episode.
Yeah.
It's going to be so wonderful.
I wanted to give a special shout to Lauren Klein, who is our audio engineer over here in the land of buffering and who helped me with the Riley jingle and also made the Veruca jingle
All on her own.
All on her own. Took, of course, inspiration from Joanna Robinson's lyric choice. But Lauren Klein, thank you. Thank you for making us sound good and also for pitching in with some jingles this season.
Bless Lauren Klein.
Bless Lauren Klein.
Or if you're on a personal level with her, you can always call her Karen from work.
Yes, yes. She also goes by Karen. Agree. And last but not least, of course, just a reminder that we've got new crop tops in the store. Summer is real hot. No matter where you are, it seems, summer is melting us all. So hop on over there, check out the new tanks, grab yourself a diner mug. You can put some iced coffee in it until it Woo! Cools down, et cetera. You can find out, of course, so much about us at BufferingTheVampireSlayer.com. You can find our store there. Also, just a quick reminder that if you go to BufferingTheVampireSlayer.com/transcribe, you will be able to work with the community to help us transcribe our episodes. We have almost all of seasons 1 and 2 transcribed. Really need help on seasons 3 and now 4 as well. It makes our episodes accessible to those who are hard of hearing or deaf. It's really, really important and powerful. So if you could help us out, it would be super rad. All the instructions are over there on that link that I told you about. I think that's all I got.
All right, let's get underground. Let's go to a secret military base.
Let's get scanned in our eyeballs.
Let's take that elevator.
Let's get into it.
Welcome to Buffering the Vampire Slayer, a podcast where we are watching and discussing every episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer one at a time in chronological order, one at a time. I already said that. Spoiler free. I'm just too excited. I'm Jenny Owen Youngs.
I'm Kristen Russo. Coming here to tell you that I don't think Jenny can ever go more than one episode without us, because yeah, if there was a gap of two or more,
I might explode.
I am Kristen Russo. This week we are talking about season 4, episode 7, chugging right along in season 4 here, The Initiative. I wonder if that has any significance.
Yeah, what does that mean?
I don't know. Stay tuned at the end of this podcast every week for an original song written by us, recapping the Buffy episode we are discussing.
The Initiative was written by Doug Petrie and directed by James A. Contner, and it originally aired on November 16th, 1999, just 6 days before I turned 18. Sorry, I keep doing countdown to 18. This will be the last one.
Yeah, you'll be able to buy porn and smoke cigarettes by the time we do the next
hot,
episode.
Hot.
This is the one where Spike finds himself targeted by a group of commandos after he escapes from a military lab underneath the Sunnydale camp. Of course there's a military lab underneath the Sunnydale campus.
Of course there is. Okay, so can we talk about the previously on? It's like, previously on Buffy the Vampire Slayer, hi, I'm Parker. Hi, I'm Riley. Hi, I'm Professor Walsh. Hi, I'm Spike, and I'm getting tased.
I think it's funny that you included Walsh, because my previously on notes were the men, the supercut. It's like literally all the men, Parker, Spike, and Riley. Everybody wants something from Buffy. But then you added Walsh. So,
well, I mean, that's going to come into play, obviously, in a big way in this episode. And also, it's just like, literally, that's all that happens in the previously right. on. It's like, just in case you forgot about Parker. Just in case you forgot Riley's a TA. Yeah. Holy cow, here's Professor Walsh. She teaches psych.
So after the previously on, we roll into women. Young, nubile, each one a mystery waiting to be unlocked with a close-up on breasts. And I don't know if you know this, Jenny, but Joanna and I forgot to play a jingle last week. We were so sad.
I noticed.
That we forgot.
I heard about it.
So I would like to say to these breasts and to the commentary bestoweth upon them by Forrest, here is your patriarchy jingle, everyone.
The patriarchy!
Okay, so yes, the patriarchy, but also...
Oh, boy. Yes?
I love this scene. Here's why.
What? Yeah. Fucking an upset. What? Are you... Why?
No. I mean, it's insulting and ludicrous that Forrest is like nubile, etc. Right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But it rolls right into like, who's that girl? And talking about how... No, I don't want...
Just for the listener, I rolled my eyes so hard at Jenny that my neck snapped backwards. And that's why I'm sorry.
We might disagree a lot in this episode.
Great.
What I really love about this scene is Forrest going on and on about how... Oh, God, he says mattressable even, which is so gross.
Yeah.
But he's just, like, talking about how hot she is while she's, like, doing, like, the most not hot stuff. She's, like, overfilling her soda at the soda fountain and then... And then she is, like, totally just, like, having a real heck of a time with the Froyo machine. She way overfills the thing, and then she, like, breaks the handle off, and yeah, it's a huge
mess. Well, she doesn't overfill the thing. She just, her Slayer strength, she forgets for a moment
right.
and just yanks the handle
right.
off.
Right.
Which
right.
is what overfills the thing. This is the Bella Swan version of Buffy.
Oh, she's so clumsy.
She's so clumsy. I do not like this scene. I do not like the, like, I mean, like, Buffy, this is kind of, like, an exaggeration of the character of Buffy that we've already been given, right? That she's,
right.
like, obviously slaying demons. She's the chosen one, but she's, like, just a normal girl.
Stop, slayers. They're just like us.
Yeah.
So I really like it for that, and I know we're going to disagree about this. I like it for Forrest going hard about, like, how about that girl? How about that hot girl? How about that hot girl? And Riley just being like, I hadn't noticed. I hadn't thought about it.
Okay, but he had noticed.
Well, he had noticed that she's... peculiar.
Oh my God. This episode's going to be a rough one
for us. She's so clumsy. I'm so peculiar.
He's just, okay, well, I'll get to Riley and my fucking issues with him in
sure.
a little bit.
Sure.
My main issues are with Forrest in this scene, which was a shocker to me, because to be honest with you, I've only seen this season once. I've only seen all the seasons once, apart from now seasons 2 and 3, which I've seen 401 billion times. But I remember really loving, like, I remember liking Forrest. And so this is, like, really our first introduction to him. Like, we may have seen him before, but I don't think that he's, like, had as much of a speaking role.
Just meeting Forrest and Graham for the first
time. Right, and Graham. I literally forget Graham's name all the time. It's like, if Riley is cardboard, then Graham is cardboard soaked in a little water.
Jeez.
Anyway, I was just really bummed because I didn't remember that Forrest was just kind of a shithead right out of the gates. I mean, he's pretty shitty to women.
Mm.
Yeah, okay, Jenny's not sold. Could be shittier, she says with her eyes.
He definitely could be shittier, but also this is not great.
No, it's pretty
bad. This is not the behavior we're looking for.
No, it's not, as noted by our earlier jingle play. So,
speaking of men,
one of my favorites shows up.
I like my men like I like my coffee, unconscious on the floor of a sterile environment.
Yeah, Spike's locked up.
Yo, are those new boots? Did you notice his boots? They're so good. They're high, like, combat-y type, like, black leather boots, but then they have, like, these, like, straps on the sides that are, like, flapping all around. They look like a fireman, executioner, vampire boot.
Of course, your standard. the shoe store. Excuse me. Do you have any of those vampire execution combat boots?
Well, it's like, you know, the Van the Village people, right? There's the fireman, the vampire, the executioner, yeah. and the military character.
And the executioner's wife.
Yeah.
So actually what I noticed about Spike, although it was pointed out to me that he's been wearing this kind of the whole time, was just his outfit was the same as the outfit worn by the two Spikes at our prom that danced together.
Yes.
Which is kind of his, like, uniform. But, like, I don't know. I think it was, like, contrasted against the white, just really made that red pop.
I feel like when he appeared earlier in the season with his, like, first thing with Harmony, he was wearing just, like, a black
t-shirt
tucked into black jeans all the time.
But last season, he wore a lot of the red shirt.
Mm.
Season 3.
Gotcha.
Anyhow, Spike's looking great despite his pallor. Is that a thing?
Yeah, he is.
He's pasty AF. Pretty pasty.
Even pastier than he normally is.
Because he's just so hungry and so full of electrocution. Mm. He's just been electrocuted.
Electrocuted door. We see people walking by in lab coats, and we see there are many, many cells containing a variety of demons. What is this place?
Well, you know what this is. It's underneath the cabin in the woods, I think.
Totally. They're just waiting to see what they touch in the basement to see which thing to send
in. You know, that's impressive, Jenny. I had to look up what the plot of Cabin in the Woods was.
Oh, really?
Remember. Yeah, I, like, can't remember details.
It's burned into my brain and soul.
Wow.
Ugh, remember when, like, before Chris Hemsworth was Chris Hemsworth? Talk about hunk.
Yeah, he is a hunk. That's true. But, you know, we've talked about Spike's t-shirt, Spike being in the episode, and we've talked about Spike a couple of other times in this season. We've missed a major opportunity.
Hit it!
Spike, I love you. Spike, so dreamy.
I'll tell you what else about Spike, since what happens right after this scene is the credits, is that somebody's gone and somebody else is in.
Yeah.
Goodbye, Oz. Hello, Spike in the credits.
Yeah.
What's up?
Spike is no longer a special guest star.
No.
I wonder if that means we'll get more of the Spike.
I think that's exactly.
Jingle.
Oh. You were like gonna say, I wonder if that means we're gonna get more of Spike. Like, Kristen, I don't think it's a question so much as a exclamation.
Yes.
So that's really exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Xander and Giles are so without purpose.
They are
together.
Like,
what a great! I love when Xander and Giles get paired together because Xander is, like, such a doof, and Giles is, like, so intolerant.
I believe a doof is actually what the exact word that Buffy uses for Riley later.
True, yes.
And I have some Xander Riley comparisons
to pull out.
Nothing specific, just in general. But anyway, doofishness aside.
They're just, like, desperately trying to figure out how they can be useful.
Oh my God. I really, like, there's a lot of, like, comedy points in this episode, but this is a good one for me. I enjoy useless Giles and useless yeah. Xander, like an old married couple, just like irritating yeah. the shit out of each other. Also, Giles is so good at drawing. Who knew? Did you know?
Yeah.
Mm. It's like, who was drawing those charcoal sketches of Buffy? You
yeah,
know
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Because Giles using that charcoal real nicely.
Jeez.
So, yeah. And then Buffy comes in and she's like, fuck everything. I'm going to a party.
Willow's having a hard time. Ergo, party.
Ergo, exactly.
She also says,
yeah.
If you'll excuse me, I need to find something slutty to
yeah.
wear tonight.
Yeah. How did that make you feel, Jenny?
Well, I was like, I don't remember this outfit being slutty. And then I was like, what even are the qualifiers that make an outfit slutty? And uh-huh. then I was like, stop thinking the word slutty. And then I was like, is it slut-shamier to acknowledge someone's sluttiness?
Well, it's acknowledging her own sluttiness.
Oh, right. Sure. But I'm just saying, like, for us as humans, okay. is it like talking about sluttiness slut-shamey?
Right. See, because my initial instinct was I was kind of like into this line. I mean, I think it depends on how you use the word. And I'm not a fan of the word, but I am a fan of like reclaim it, like using
yeah.
the word.
She's not like self-deprecating. She's just like, I'm going to find something slutty. Right
yeah,
now.
Exactly. She's like, and I think it's a real departure from like seasons 1 and 2 Buffy, where Xander was always kind of calling her a slut, like, you know,
right,
and like
right.
as a dig. And she didn't yeah. yet, I don't think she yet had the words or the confidence to be like, hey, man. I am a fucking slut. Like,
yeah,
you know
now
I mean?
She's like, come get it.
She's
or,
like, yeah.
come near me and be rejected or something.
Some version of that. But I was kind of into this because it felt like, you know, again, I know people have feelings on the word, but I just felt like Buffy was owning it. And I think that that's maybe the answer to your question, Jenny, that I think that as a woman, perhaps we can use the word for ourselves. I don't think it's ever very powerful to use it for another person, even if you mean it to be empowering.
Right, right, right.
Once it leaves your lips toward another human, I think the meaning can change drastically. Again, neither of us are the definers of how to use the word or not use the word slut. So great talk.
That was excellent.
So the blood is poisoned. The blood is poisoned.
Oh, yeah. This is, I don't know if you remember this vampire from Sunday's Crew.
Yes. I knew you wouldn't. I didn't. I was like, this guy's so dramatic. Yeah, he's
the one who got away.
Right.
And then we saw him get tased by the initiative.
Holy shit. No, I didn't remember. I just was like, who's this drama queen in here? Like, he's just so dramatic. He's like, call me a rat. I'm a rat.
Yeah,
whatever
he is. He needs to chill out. But I do like that we get like two great things, two hilarious things from Spike. So who's behind this? The government, the Nazis, a major cosmetics company?
Right.
Like, fair.
Yeah, fair. Like,
very
that's
fair.
Exactly what
the
I thought.
Three big evils.
Uh-huh.
And then followed up by like, oh, the Slayer. The Slayer's involved. Always wondered what would happen when that bitch got some funding.
Right.
First
right.
of all, how dare you, sir?
Well, but.
But second of all, excellent question.
Or, excellent
like,
writing.
To wonder.
Okay. Yeah, excellent writing for Spike in those two lines. And I also love his response to finding out it's the Slayer. Like the arch nemesis.
He's just
moment.
Like,
of course it's the Slayer.
Yeah.
The Slayer again.
So he's like, Buffy the mastermind. Meanwhile, Buffy is getting slayed by a ballpoint pen.
Oh my god.
She's so bad
she's
at ballpoint pens.
Klutz.
She's just so clumsy.
She's a Slayer and she's a chosen one, but she like just doesn't know how to use a pen. It's so cute. Right. So Buffy gets ink all over herself and her notes, and we learn Oz's real name.
Yeah, this is the first and only time it's ever mentioned. Daniel Osborne.
And this is an unfortunate.
Here's the thing. Okay. Sorry, is it okay? Sorry, I feel like I have a lot pent up
because
I wasn't here last episode.
Please.
Okay, this sucks, and Professor Walsh is like a total jerk but it's just like, it's hard for me to like really get into the scene because this wouldn't happen. This is like so stupid. Like, Willow's not saying anything substantial. She's just saying to the TA, like, oh, he's gone, but he'll be back.
Right.
And like, it's not like, like, he's had one absence. Like, Professor Walsh is like,
right.
goes on this whole tear about, like, if he can't abide by my schedule, it's best he not come back. Like, it's one class. Like, you're everybody's flipping out.
Right.
And I know that it's just so that Buffy could, like, really give Walsh a talking to in front of Riley. And then Walsh could be like, I like her.
Which I do like that moment.
That's so great. That's
it's
the best,
really good.
Best but, thing Professor Walsh does all episode.
Yeah, and I guess you're right. I didn't really, I was too wrapped up in the I hate when people are shitty to heartbroken people moment to like even see past it. It's just like so shitty. Like, I know Walsh is supposed to be like the evil bitch monster from hell or whatever the fuck, but like,
oh my God, wait, yes, dude. The previously on edit is just like, I'm Professor Walsh, the evil bitch monster of death.
Just setting you up so you remember.
Yeah.
But I just feel like that, like, yeah, it's very uncalled for.
Yeah,
it's very
ridiculous.
Over the top.
So ridiculous.
So,
and then of course, as soon as Walsh is like, I like her, Riley's like, you don't think she's a little peculiar?
Peculiar, the buzzword of this episode. God damn it. So then we get more Giles and Xander. What is their romance name? Jander or Xiles?
Ooh, I think Jander.
Jander? Yeah, yeah, Jander's got a certain ring to it. So yeah, we go to Jander in Xander's basement, which is just really amazing in so many ways. First of all, let's like take a brief sexy alert moment when fucking Giles takes the gun away from Xander and just unlike fucking snaps it open and reloads it. Doesn't even look at it. Yes, daddy. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Wow. Well, now I know what you mean.
I'm trying to get to the point where, Jenny, you're so inspired that you give us the Giles jingle that we have been waiting for.
I promise you it's imminent.
Okay, great.
I feel...
Can you just do a remix of me calling Giles daddy?
Yes, daddy. Jesus. No.
But yeah, so that's pretty sexy. And then the other moment I love in this scene is when... Xander's mom, which is really out of character, by the way. Xander's mom has been ordering Chinese food and not paying attention to him for years.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Has made fruit punch.
A nice fruit punch.
Yes.
For you and your friend.
And then Giles calls up the stairs and asks if it's raspberry.
Have you ever had raspberry fruit
That's
punch?
That's what I'm saying.
Fruit punch is, by definition, a multi-fruit venture.
Fruit. Yeah. Thank you. It's like if it's orange fruit punch, it's orange juice. You know what I mean? Like,
true.
Right. Is that a raspberry fruit punch?
Well, if it's orange fruit punch, I think it's like Tang or something.
Oh, actually, that's true. Yeah.
Also, Xander, I don't know if you noticed Xander's like fashion forward asymmetrical stitch sweater.
I did not.
It's
Kate isn't here today, so.
It's really uncharacteristic wear for Xander. Mm-hmm. It looks like something that a gentleman in his early 20s who enjoys making love with other gentlemen might have purchased from like FC UK when I was in college.
Making love with other gentlemen.
Is that not the right way to say it?
It's beautiful. It's very nice.
It calls up a very specific like set of stores and a very specific moment in time and a very specific set of my friends.
Got you.
For me.
Okay. Well, I don't remember it, but I'll have to go back and look and see if it inspires me to think about gentlemen who make love to other gentlemen.
I'm sorry. Okay. So in my opinion, the worst thing that Riley does in this episode is throw a frisbee indoors.
Yeah, that's fair.
That is his biggest offense to me.
it's pretty not okay.
It's offensive.
Okay,
so
this is where you get real excited about Riley and I have feelings about Riley.
Right. Okay, so let's talk about it.
So first of all, fucking Parker, right? Like,
this is so offensive. Remember Beer Bad?
I mean, yeah, the two twigs to the head didn't really teach
Apparently
him anything.
Not. The one knocked it out of him and one knocked it back in.
Yeah, seriously. That's like the character from Christmas Vacation. What's her name? The cousin?
I can't remember
her
name.
Like Mary Sue, Sally Sue, something
like
Sue.
That. Yeah. Where she had crossed eyes and then they got uncrossed.
Yeah, like a donkey kicked her and they uncrossed.
And she fell down a well. Buddy.
Anyway, sorry that I can't remember her name. That's very unfan-like of me. And I'm a huge fan of Christmas Vacation. But Parker, up until this point, has believed himself, or at least has presented himself as someone who believes he's a good guy.
Right.
And now... It is thrown like it
just
all it,
when you thought he had a character that couldn't even be assassinated.
I mean, it's just like all it took was for somebody to be like, yo, how is that girl in bed? For him to be like, I am the snake you always thought I was.
Yeah, exactly.
And he just like comes out of his fucking skin into
he comes up out of the hole in the basement underneath the frat house and is like,
precisely,
sacrifice women to me.
Literally. And he's like, first of all, he has this whole thing where he's like, the word is stamina.
Gross! is really also true, though. Right. Probably,
right? That's exactly what I was going to say. Like, really gross, but also good point.
Get those words out of your mouth, sir.
Yeah. And then he takes it to this, like, insane level.
Dude,
where he's
so...
like, dude, you know the difference between a freshman girl and a toilet seat is the toilet seat doesn't follow you around after you use it. Like, first of all, Parker, dude, like, this guy was, like, reading, like, at least intelligent books. Like, I don't know what is, like, they really go a little hard on.
Dude, seriously, with, like, whiny, clingy, we got physical. I mean, fully physical.
Fully, which is what I say when I sleep with anyone.
Totally. Fully physical.
So what'd you guys do? Well, we made out, and then we got fully physical.
We got half physical, and then we got... fully, we kicked it up to fully physical.
I don't know why, but when you said half physical, I pictured two centaurs making out.
Dude, yes, totally.
So anyway, this is the comment that gets a punch from Riley. Now, I'm here for the punch.
We all want to see everybody get wants punched to in the see. Face.
I mean, Parker's knockout count is rivaling Giles. At this point he's in the there. Show. But I don't know. Do you want to say what you want to say about Riley and how you like him? I'm going.
You're gonna
I was
go
gonna
hard.
Say I'm going down on Riley,
Kristen.
But I meant I'm
I feel
gonna...
like you wouldn't stay on the other side of that.
Yeah.
Otherwise, your argument's gonna just crumble.
That's true.
Okay, I'm really curious to hear what you have to say, but I guess I have to go first.
Mm-hmm.
Please go forth. I'm scared of how my words will sound after I can't take them back.
Okay,
anymore.
Here's how I feel. I was like, all right, I'm glad that Riley punched Parker. Great. And then we change scenes, and Riley is like, I can't believe I did that. I don't even blah, 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 blah. Like, right? And Forrest being, you know, a jerk in this episode, but also really on point, kind of like Veruca last episode where it's like, well, she does have a point. You know, it's like we get these lines from these characters. And Forrest is like, dude, I say shit that's like so much worse than that all the time. You don't punch me out. So like, what's the deal? So like, there's your first flag, right? Why is Riley friends with these fucking guys? Like,
well, I think we know why he's friends with them.
Well, that's true.
They work together.
But he's, like, really friends with them. He's not just working with them.
They work together. They live together. Listen, you weren't friends with people who were offensive in college.
In the 90s especially.
Please.
I definitely was. But I'm just saying. So we learn that Riley is, like, totally tolerant of this kind of language unless, as he suddenly realizes, he wants to have sex with Buffy. He has feelings for Buffy. And so because he wants Buffy for himself, then it's like my toy. Wow. And you may not, so I will punch you for insulting my toy. And I'm not fucking here for it. Before you even say your counter argument, if you have one, I would like to play the jingle that I worked on with our audio engineer, Lauren Klein, and I sung myself. Thank you very much. Goodbye, Riley.
Okay, I hear what you're saying.
Mm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
This is my impression. I mean, we're still getting to know Riley and we just met Forrest,
okay.
Right?
I want everyone to know that Jenny is sitting as though she's in a courtroom with her hands folded in front of her, ready to present her arguments.
This is what I think. I think earlier in the episode, we see Forrest being a pig and we see Riley ignoring him.
Okay.
More or less, just letting it roll off his back and just being like, this isn't even worth engaging with. I'm focused on the task at hand. I have responsibilities. I am a good boy from Iowa. Sit, stay, fetch. Okay. To me, my interpretation of the situation, I'm not saying like, oh, great. I wish Forrest would say more terrible things.
No.
And I'm also not saying like, wow, I love when men say terrible things and then other men don't do anything about it.
Right.
Don't love that. But to me, it feels like Riley is like a very... You know, Buffy is a Capricorn, right?
Sure,
she's very mission-oriented.
Mm-hmm.
Riley, like, kind of feels similar to me in that he's like, okay,
yeah,
I have a limited amount of energy and I have a lot of responsibilities. We learn exactly how many responsibilities in this episode. And I'm going to, like, use my energy the best way I see fit. Now, do I wish that Riley was a feminist? Of course. But I think Riley is coming. I mean, you have to meet people where they're at, right?
Yeah, you're talking about us meeting Riley where Riley is
at. We're meeting Riley where he's
at. Okay. In a cornfield, half naked.
He just encountered the strongest, physically strongest and also like probably mentally and emotionally strongest woman he may have ever encountered. Well, besides Professor Walsh, maybe.
Right, sure.
Right? He's got Professor Walsh and now he's starting to get to know Buffy. He has these two. I'm interested to see how his relationships with those two women impact him as we move forward. All right. I also think my interpretation of him punching Parker was not like, me, caveman, want fuck Buffy. No, nobody else can talk about Buffy. To me, it feels like he is a, he like really like takes very seriously like his manners and like being a gentleman and stuff. And let me just finish before you. Okay. Mm-hmm. And to me, it feels like he, this whole episode, we see him like not understanding that he has feelings for Buffy, not even like being consciously aware that he has noticed her or cares about her or is interested in her.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, this reads like an unconscious, like even his unconscious is trying to be like, dude, you're into this girl.
Right.
Like you did something that's pretty out of character for you because you felt like somebody was being really, really shitty to somebody that you are like interested in and like starting to care about.
Mm-hmm. I hear you. I hear you, but
also, like, if somebody was like,
If
somebody was talking shit about me, I would hope that Riley would punch them in the face.
Sure, we all want Riley to punch people in the face for us. Okay. I'm with you there.
Interesting.
I mean, come on. But I see what you're saying. I understand meeting people where they are. I understand that perhaps he is nicely mannered. I do think,
you said you have Riley and Xander comparisons. Look how far Xander has come.
How much we called Xander out for his bullshit.
Well, Riley's not calling Buffy a slut or like being shitty to her because she won't go out with him.
Okay, fair point. But I do think that Riley suffers from the same kind of character arc that Xander suffers from, which is like, but he's a nice guy. I mean, this scene where he's like talking about like, you know, I don't know why I did that. And like, I always let my other friends talk shit on women. It's like the score of the thing is like the end of a Full House episode. It's like strings like swelling because we are.
Oh, my God. The acoustic guitar.
They want us. The creators of the show want us to feel exactly what you're saying. They want us to sympathize with Riley. And like, I'm here for it a little bit, but I'm not here to just let it slide by. I'm not here to just let it go because Riley could be a much better dude. A much better dude, and he's not. He is a better dude than Parker, of course. Of course.
Most 20-year-old men that I encounter.
What are you right now? I'm shutting you down. I'm playing the jingle again to shut you up.
The patriarchy!
Look, maybe...
Most 20-year-old men. You're going to get... what do you call it?
When fired? You get, benched?
When
penalty box?
Yes.
The Riley penalty box?
Yeah.
The Riley apologist penalty box?
Uh-huh.
So I think maybe I'm coming at this like a little stronger than I would for another character because of how strong the Riley hatred is in the fandom. And because compared to the behavior of other men in the series, I feel like... there's a disproportionate amount of yes. hatred aimed at Riley. And we can get into that as the series progresses, of course. But, like, I think I'm coming at it from, like, that perspective. Like,
don't worry. I'm here to always keep you in check.
Thank you.
Always keep you in check. Joanna and I discussed last episode that the only good man we think that's on the series, consistently good man who never does anything wrong, is Clem.
Clem. Wait, I'm trying to think about what Giles does.
Yeah. Well... ruminate on all those things.
Thank you. Clem!
And,
see you soon.
Okay, so Spike also has to go see a girl, right?
Hot jailbreak.
I love the Riley, Spike, back-to-back. I gotta go see about a girl.
Mm-hmm.
So that's fun. And yeah, it's a pretty hot jailbreak. There's a dive that Spike does that I made a note of that I said, nice dive, Spike.
Yeah, he's got like a couple hot dives.
He does a great job with this. And like, I was talking to Joanna Robinson about what I thought was a discrepancy here, which is that Spike hurts these men before he leaves.
Right. Yeah.
But Joanna was like, Joanna's theory was like a slow release. It was like the chip was like slowly taking effect.
Right.
Then it gets like worse and worse, like as he's leaving and whatever. And then, and then he becomes unable to hurt to even hit anyone.
Right.
So it's like either look at it as a goof or look at it as Joanna does, which I like as like,
yeah, I like that theory.
Fucking Mucinex 12 hour.
Wow.
Wow. Slow release pill. But yeah, Spike. Today's episode is brought to you by Regal Cinemas. If you're anything like me, you deeply enjoy going to the movies. Going to the movies is probably among my top three all-time activities. I love seeing films on the big screen. I also love being around other people who are watching the same movie with me at the same time. And of course, I love eating giant buckets of popcorn. If you feel the same and you like going to the theater, Regal Unlimited is something that just makes sense. Regal Unlimited is the all-you-can-watch movie subscription pass. It pays for itself in two movie visits. You can see any standard 2D movie anytime, no blackout dates, no restrictions. When you want to watch a movie in 4DX or IMAX or RPX or ScreenX, there's so many ways to watch movies these days, your Regal Unlimited membership gets you into those premium experiences at a reduced cost. And with Regal Unlimited, you don't only save money on the tickets, you will also save on your snacks. And as previously mentioned, I love snacks. The only thing that can make me love a snack more is saving money on buying a snack. Members get 10% off of all non-alcoholic concession items with membership. Regal Unlimited, all you can watch movie subscription pass. It pays for itself in two visits. So if you're planning to see two movies this month, join Regal Unlimited and sign up now. You can sign up in the Regal app or on regmovies.com/unlimited. Sign up for Regal Unlimited using code BUFFERING and earn 10% off your three-month subscription. Please let us know about all of the movies you see and how the popcorn is.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Escapes. And, In the meantime,
Riley swings over to talk to Willow in her dorm room. Gee, I hope I'm not interrupting anything really depressing. He's got a point.
I mean,
he doesn't really know her well enough to make that joke, but we know her well enough to enjoy that joke. No,
I didn't enjoy this joke. I'm going to throw you out a window.
Dude, I feel like the tone of this episode is like,
right,
with everything that Willow says over the course of this episode, like we're already back in Whedon land. Like the traumatic and the terribly sad, like, is being brought some levity with humor.
Totally. I just, like, I don't know, like, Willow's sitting in her room. She's listening to sad music, which is what you do when you're heartbroken. And Riley walks in. He clocks it enough to call it out. But then is just like, boy, joke, isn't this depressing? And hey, I want to ask out your friend. And like, I know he's all like Twitter-pated or whatever, but
I'm sorry, what is he?
Twitter-pated?
What?
From Bambi? You don't remember Twitter-pated?
No.
Twitter-pated is what they all get in the springtime when they want a mate, but like, we were children, so it was like,
oh my God, are you serious?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, the skunk, I don't remember the skunk's name, but the skunk and Bambi or whatever.
Flower.
And
the flower.
they get Twitter-pated. That's the word that they use.
Oh my Disney, what the fuck?
You can talk about romance with children. They get it. They don't need to know.
Being Twitter baited does not sound romantic to me.
Well, they make
sounds like a whole other thing.
You can rewatch Bambi on your own time.
Okay.
But I understand it. What I mean to say is I understand that Riley is like distracted because he's just realized that he has feelings for Buffy or whatever. But I do wish that he had taken a little bit more sensitivity into the room, especially since just a few days ago he was telling Willow not to walk into traffic, which wasn't necessary, but in his mind was. So like just... a little sensitivity.
That wasn't great.
But he gets there.
Later we see a softer side of Riley.
A softer side of Riley. But this is a good, apart from that, like me feeling like, come on, man. I do really like this scene. It's a very fun scene.
Oh my God. It's so fun. Fucking with Willow's like description of like the whole arc.
Let's play Willow's monologue.
Okay. Say that I help. You start a conversation, it goes great. You like Buffy, she likes you. You spend time together, feelings grow deeper. And one day, without even realizing it, you find you're in love. Time stops, and it feels like the whole world's made for you two, and you two alone. Until the day one of you leaves and rips the still beating heart from the other, who's now a broken, hollow mockery of the human condition.
Yep, that's the plan.
So points to Willow. It's a good, it got a good laugh out of me. Me too. And you know, she does throw him a cheese crumb.
Four crumbs, actually.
Really?
Cheese, stuffed pig named Mr. Gordo. She loves the ice capades, not ironically, and she'll also be at a party tonight that happens to be at Riley's house.
Wait, it's at Riley's house?
Yeah. He's like, that's my house. I live there.
Oh my God. I missed that entirely and was wondering why the elevator to the initiative was in this random party house. Mm-hmm. So that really clears up some stuff for me.
Also, Riley is like, has she ever mentioned me? And Willow's like, no.
Willow has a really good episode this episode.
Yeah, she's crushing it. She's also like, I'm not your accomplice.
Yeah, and then fully acts as his accomplice. But before we get there, let's get to my favorite lady.
The greatest thing I've ever seen is Harmony putting up a unicorn poster.
Oh my God. I like almost jumped. I was watching this episode in bed. I almost jumped up out of my bed because I forgot that Harmony was even in the episode. And oh my God, is she in this episode? I love Harmony. I think that I'm transferring some of my Cordelia feelings to Harmony. Like, I'm not comparing them even as characters, though, of course, Harmony is a Cordette. But I think that some of my missing of Cordelia is, like, really elevating my love for Harmony.
Yeah, totally. Also, I'm just having a realization. Think about this. Mm. Spike becomes a vampire, and then he's like, I'm going to wear black leather and engineer boots and, like, a blood red shirt and da-da-da. Uh-huh. And Angel becomes a vampire, and he's like, I'm going to wear leather pants and velvet shirts. Harmony becomes a vampire and she's like, I love pink and unicorns. Like none
she
of
does,
them.
Though, she does rock a red leather pant.
But she has like a much, like they all dress differently and present differently than when they were human.
Right.
Like Harmony was not into unicorns as like a high school student.
Was she not?
I really don't think so. She was like very, you know, contempo casual.
That's true. Well, I mean, remember when Angel tells Willow that, like, becoming a vampire does actually bring out some of your, like, some of you, the real you, that maybe you just didn't know yet. So, like, maybe Harmony's deepest, darkest pieces were loving pop
unicorns.
Music and unicorns.
and loving
to braid her hair.
Yeah.
So she takes Spike back.
Oh, my gosh. Well, wouldn't you take him back if he called you Mon Petit Creme Brulee?
I would. If he said, Big Daddy's home, I would say, okay.
There's so much daddy in this episode.
Well, I think
implied
said
and overtly.
Yeah. I think I was the one who brought daddy in earlier. But Spike brings us daddy.
He's like, it's just going to be you and me now. All I have to do is kill the Slayer person. Harmony's like, let's leave her alone. She's just going to slap you around and I can do that.
Yeah, which is...
hell yeah.
Pretty hot, Harm. Pretty hot. Harmony's great. Great.
Who's the daddy and who's the daddy?
If you know what Jenny means. So yeah, so they get together. But of course, we learn in just a short minute that that doesn't last very long. Before we get there, we get what I am going to absolutely turn into a GIF, Jenny, which is Xander and Giles in the woods. Xander, mama, and Giles saying, oh, shut up. Which is like, you know, a moment I think many of us have been waiting for.
Oh, yeah. I want to see that video edited for like the Charlie Brown adults talking over Xander.
I mean, it's basically already done. Yeah, so after this, we go to the party.
Yo, let's talk. Can we talk about something?
Yeah.
Well,
I think that's what a podcast is for.
Sorry. Great point. I'm not going to get into this whole thing yet, but I just want to make a mental note that there is a Moby song playing when they enter the party.
There's also a That Dog song playing
just
later.
Wait. Please wait.
What?
Please wait.
I just was really excited because I forgot that was a band. Okay.
Okay. Moby song.
Moby song.
Top of the scene.
Great. So that, and Willow now.
Willow has this like very specific read on exactly what every aspect of Buffy's outfit means. Meanwhile, Buffy's like, I just picked something out slutty.
Right, but it's not slutty. I mean,
well, it's backless.
Oh, I didn't notice it.
Yeah, that's right. No bra.
Wow. Well, just
I noticed. I was like, let's see how slutty this is. Right. And I paid close attention for the whole time she's at the party.
Good to know what your hosts are paying attention to when they critically watch an episode.
I'm
a
detail oriented.
Mm-hmm. So, and Willow, this is Willow. I wrote that Willow is a love operative here. I don't know where I came up with that, but it just came right out. But she's like, we're going to get the three guys like going into the thing and they're all like secret agents, blah, blah, blah. But it's like, this scene is kind of set up.
Willow might as well be like talking into her
exactly.
wrist.
It's set up to like mirror that, but for getting Riley a date with Buffy.
Yeah.
Which is fun. I love when she's like, if you like, basically she's like, if you fuck her up, I'll fucking kill you with a shovel. And then her line where she's like, a vague disclaimer is nobody's friend.
It's really good.
Right?
It's really good. And I think Riley gets so flustered by both that threat and also talking to Buffy that he just starts talking about, did you do the reading?
Yeah. Which now, you know how I feel about Riley, I think. But I did have some room.
Some sympathy.
Some room in my heart for like Riley not knowing how to flirt.
Aww,
and like,
he
got me. Mark Lucas got me. In this scene where I was like, all right, he's kind of, this is cute. Like, he doesn't know how to dance and like whatever. That the trope of the dude who doesn't know how to flirt with a lady, it got Kristen Russo this time, human beings.
Hooray.
So, yeah. But then before we go back to the party.
Yo.
This is good.
Xander's wandering through the woods and his hair is pushed forward. He looks like he's in like an old Hollywood like movie about Rome.
I'm kind of into it, actually. I was kind of into his shaggy hair.
I don't have a problem with it. I just thought it called up something very specific for me.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then so you think that this scene, Harmony has a pile of Spike's clothing. She's taking a fucking page right out of Angel's book with fucking matches and gasoline. It's like,
yeah, careful,
lady, do
girl.
You know that that kills you?
Plus, she's probably wearing so many like poly blends. Like, she's very flammable.
That's true. So she sees Xander. Xander's like, stay right there. And then we get, like, before we know where this scene is going to go, we get this amazing line from Harmony where she's like, I can kill you where you stand. And I'm like, fuck yeah.
So great. You're so ready for, like, the fight of the century.
Yeah, and then
that's what we get.
Yeah, we do. We do.
According to Wikipedia, Mercedes McNabb, who plays Harmony, said that they're both wearing, like, knee pads and stuff.
Oh, my God.
But they, and I quote, did all their own stunts.
Amazing. I hope we can get Mercedes McNabb to come on the show.
Oh,
because she's she's just such a fucking dream.
She's so
and this
good.
This scene is so special. It really, and it's like very nostalgic. I think for me to watch, because like it's like Harmony and Xander went to high school together.
Yeah, they were antagonistic then. They're antagonistic
exactly.
now.
Exactly. Harmony has been ragging on Xander since the dawn of time. Xander's been ragging on Harmony since the dawn of time. And here they are, just like brother and sister.
Yeah, yeah. I could have sworn that we had seen Harmony fight in a real like fight way previously.
Did we?
Well,
we saw her. I mean, she fought Oz and Willow when she first appeared on the scene where they like knocked her with the mic stand. But did we see her fight more than
maybe
that?
Maybe not. Maybe she was just biting and then got shooed away.
Yeah.
But so, okay.
I
buy this fight interaction.
I think that Harmony can fight, but I think it's just like
this
Xander.
Is the perfect. Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, like they're talking about the pile of stuff and she's like, that's not my stuff. It's Spike's. Like I'd listen to a band called The Sex Pistols. Ew.
Yeah, Mercedes McNabb. Oh, she's good. She's real good. So okay. Harmony doesn't set herself on fire, thankfully. And then we go back to the party.
Back to the party.
That dog.
More like frat dog, am I right?
Oh my God, Jenny.
Okay.
Wow. Is that why you got upset when I already said it? Because you were waiting for your joke set up?
Well, there's that. So we've heard Moby. We've heard That Dog. And then a Dingo's Ate My Baby song comes on.
Going.
And Riley Oh, Riley makes the DJ change it because he sees that Willow got sad. And
right.
That is really nice. AJ. And I really like that. AJ. I'm motioning across my throat the way that Riley does in the episode. And then in this exchange, Riley is like, it's a tape of some bands from last year's party. So last year's party featured a performance from Dingoes Ain't My Baby, That Dog, and Moby.
Don't forget about fucking Biff Naked. Who also...
Was that? No, that was a party this year.
Oh, okay. This was a different last year's party. But, you know, you see
who
Sunnydale.
Who is booking these Sunnydale parties?
Great, great bands. But yeah, also just a note to AJ... Like, shout out, man. I don't know how you're DJing on a fucking tape. But
oh, yeah.
He's like...
Well, do you remember when
oh, like the like,
players, they would sense the break.
The gap?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't until you started
that. But also, it goes
sentence.
Way too fast for that to have been the thing.
I think he just changed the tape.
Yeah, sure.
But I remembered this That Dog song. I loved this song. It was a really good song.
All That Dog songs are fucking great.
I forgot all about them as a band. But yeah, Riley has a good moment here. I'm here
for
it.
He's like, Willow's like, go find Buffy. And he's like, there's no hurry if you want to talk.
Totally.
Oh,
okay.
Nobody. Riley, I love you.
Make your own jingle. God damn it. We'll have the competing Riley jingles.
Also, I noticed something about this party.
Okay.
Literally, every extra that you see is in a two-person group. And it's a man or a boy and a woman or a girl talking to each other. It's all
couples all the time.
All that.
Couple skate?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I don't know that they're couples, but like it just seems unreal. In college, were you ever like, and I will talk to a boy now or I will talk to a girl now and only one of them?
Also, I don't know if you recognized or remember this, but in the beginning of the episode, Buffy, when she's talking about the party, is like, you know, there's girls on my hall and they want to go to a party. And I would like to say,
have you ever seen Buffy talk to a girl on her hall?
No. So I'd like to meet these girls.
She's like, do you think she just overheard other people talking about a college experience? And she was like, I should use this when
I talk to
Giles.
Yeah. So Xander comes in and Xander's like, yo, Buff, we got to talk business. And Buffy's like, of course we do. Fucking leaves the party. Riley's like, oh, another dude left with my girlfriend.
No, that's not what he says. He says, it's not like she blew me off. She just left
what
with
are
another
you
guy.
Fucking, Jenny's going to have a goddamn Riley tattoo before the end of this.
Just a Riley tramp stamp.
Just Riley's face, like, on your bicep.
Oh, my God. Yeah, hell yeah.
That'll be good for when we surprise you one day with Mark Blucas.
Wait, can we just, like, I was thinking about this earlier today when I was watching the episode. Can we just talk for a second about that email?
Yeah, but you're going to have to, because only the patrons heard the mailbag episode.
Right.
So you're going to have to loop all of the listeners into what you're talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, I'm just going to, like, if you want to hear the whole thing, it's available in our most recent mailbag episode on Patreon.
Yeah.
But Kristen, like, organizes the emails for the mailbag, and she, like, decides which one of us is going to read which one. And I, like, we got, like, 3/4 of the way through the episode, and I got to an email that I was supposed to read. And, like, with every sentence, my voice, like, got higher and higher. I, like, shrieked so many times because the email was from somebody who used to hang out on the...
You didn't read it.
Wait, you read it?
I read it, and you shrieked as I read it.
God, my memory
you were really into it. You were really in it.
I was having such an experience that I don't even have a clear memory.
I think I read it. Yeah.
Well, one of us read it.
Yeah, sure.
And it was from somebody who used to spend time on the original, like, Buffy message boards in real time. And she really didn't like Riley, but she had a friend who was really into Riley. And she was, like, a member of a subgroup on the forum that was, like, ladies love Riley or something. And there was, like, a big convention where, like, people from the message boards, I believe, were meeting up. And the girls from, like, Ladies Love Riley were having, like, a lunch all together. And this girl's friend was like, you should come with me even though you hate Riley because it'll be fun and you'll, like, meet people. So they go. And then, like, they're all having lunch. Just some ladies who love Riley and one lady who doesn't love Riley. And fucking Mark Blucas! Mark Blucas just walked in and was like, hello, I'm Mark Blucas. And he also had the guy who plays Graham. With him, Kristen hates it.
Cardboard and more cardboard. Enter a room.
He just like hung.
No,
I just like hung out with these ladies lunching, and like it just sounded so sweet, and it like made me feel so warm towards Mark Blucas and the guy who plays Graham, whose name I really should look up and remember. I just
you should if you're a patron already and you have you should really listen to
yeah if you've just not been listening to it it's worth it I think
it's
for that
really
one
I mean Jenny loses her entire
I
mind
fucking and lost
and,
it.
And really gave me a goal and perhaps out there you want to help me with this someday when Jenny least expect it is least expecting it I really want Mark Lucas to just walk into a fucking room
I would
and I want to video
up lose my shit.
I know I like I would lose. We all need it like we all need it so deeply.
One thing I want to say is that he like I don't think he like acts anymore. He just like has a farm in Pennsylvania with his family.
Have you been having phone conversations?
Well, I looked him up on Instagram when we were like I think talking about guests and stuff of people we wanted to like, reach out to and it's like oh he doesn't act anymore. He just like has a beautiful perfect family and drives a tractor on his farm in Pennsylvania. Fine.
Listen, that's okay. That's all right. Doesn't mean he won't
oh my
talk
God.
To us.
If you get him to drive up to me in a tractor, I think that would be
okay.
Like while we're making while
all
we're
right.
dreaming big.
Moving right along.
Okay.
Fucking Riley is like, okay, you know, Buffy left and then he finds Graham and Forrest or they find him or whatever. And then there's this scene where they're just like walking and talking super cash. They get to the mirror. Their eyes are scanned. Everybody's like, what the fuck is happening?
Forrest fixes his eyebrows.
Yes, he does. He
Gross.
Licks his fingers.
Remember
and
when
pushes
that used
his...
to be a thing?
I don't want to remember,
yeah.
but I do. And so they get like retinal scan. It happens.
Yeah.
And then the mirror opens up to a very recognizable color palette.
Oh, yeah. Sterile white.
Sterile white. And we're all like, what the fuck? What the fuck? And then they get in the elevator and then Riley uses his voice in mid-conversation.
I love how he just leans over and is like,
one girl.
Girl.
Yeah. and then it's like Special Agent Finn Riley. And we're all like, what? And then
yeah.
the music swells as the elevator opens.
Oh,
and you got villain,
God.
Villain music swells.
Yeah.
And fucking Walsh has this turn where she's like faced fully away from the camera and she like spins around
yeah,
as the
yeah.
villain music just, you know, comes up in volume. And it's really a reveal. Here we are.
So
turns out Riley's more than meets the eye.
I want to say something.
Mm. Yes, Jenny.
So they were like, let's get a... airplane hangar or whatever.
Sure.
Right. Uh-huh. And then they were like, let's make it look really wild and high tech and like, wow, we're doing like crazy advanced science on all these demons or whatever. So they dig a pit, fill it with tinfoil. Everything is just like tinfoil everywhere. There's like six demons down in the pit and then there's cameras on the demons and there's people watching the TVs that have the camera feed live, but they're like only like 20 feet away from the pit. Like it just like, it reminds me a lot of the X-Files. Like every time Mulder like stumbles onto like a huge tent in the middle of a cornfield that's like full of government operatives doing autopsies that like you never can prove that they were on aliens or whatever. Like just like the blinding white and tinfoil was like the 90s aesthetic for like that. Then people will know this was expensive, governmental, and top secret.
And related to monsters.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Well, we learn as well that Spike is hostile number 17, which I like because my birthday is on the 17th of December. It's a good number for me. It's one of my favorite numbers. So I feel, you know, I already felt a connection to Spike, but now I feel extra connected to Spike. Suggested to me by one Joanna Robinson that perhaps we should think about having a shirt that says hostile 17.
Wow.
Which could be kind of fun. Just
that's
putting it
a
out
great
there,
idea.
Right? So we'll think about it. We'll think
okay.
about
Hot
it.
Hot idea.
Mm-hmm.
Also, just noting that we learned pretty quickly Riley is in charge of this gaggle of
yes.
military operatives.
Yes.
So it's kind of like we see this parallel between Professor Walsh and Giles and Buffy and Riley.
Oh.
Think about it.
That's good, Jenny.
And then,
yeah.
That's good, Jenny.
I did
yeah.
a good job. No, I didn't think about it like that. I like that.
Can I have a cookie now?
Yeah, you can have a cookie.
Thank you.
Please pause. It's like crunch, 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 crunch. So... we go back to Giles' house and Xander has this like really kind of flashback moment. Like I mean, Xander, we haven't heard Xander really say anything about Buffy in like a jealous way at all. But he kind of falls back into that pattern for a minute with Riley, calling him Teutonic, which I'm into.
Oh, yeah. Wait, what is Teutonic mean?
It means like archaic. Is what when I looked it up like to but it sounds like bulky to me.
Yeah,
so I don't
yeah.
know if Xander's using it in the way that it was intended. If I looked up the wrong definition of the wrong kind of Teutonic,
or what, but
archaic.
Archaic, yeah. I mean, maybe, yeah, I don't know. And
I mean, that checks out later when Buffy says, that is so Teutonic.
Right, right.
But we'll get there.
So Buffy wants to kill Spike, obviously.
She's like, doesn't he get this is my town?
Yeah.
And it's my night off.
And then we cut to this very brief moment with Spike where he's looking up where Buffy lives. There's a little...
Dude, papers everywhere.
Yeah. But there's a little Easter egg in this scene, which I missed, actually, but I read about, which is that the names listed in the other rooms are names of, like, the crew and writers of the show.
Oh, my God. That's really, really cool.
Yeah.
Speaking of Easter eggs, can I tell you something that you may not know?
Please tell me.
Okay. Have you watched the most recent season of Westworld?
I did not. I tried and I failed.
Okay. I know the first episode was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. I got to the third and I still couldn't do it.
It got... so fucking wild, and it got so much wilder. I'm not gonna like say anything except that, like, I didn't even, like, when I finished watching it, I did not have a full understanding of everything that had happened. But then once I finished the season, I went back and listened to Joanna Robinson's Westworld podcast, yeah. Decoding Westworld.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got to the finale episode, I was like, holy fuck, it like blew my fucking mind.
Okay,
so first all of right. all, if you watched Westworld season two, and you have the television comprehension level that I have, I would highly recommend listening to Decoding Westworld. But also, I learned in that episode that the Amazon cylinder, whose name I will not say, just in case me saying it in your home right now activates it.
Oh my God, Jenny.
This
Amazon
is how,
cylinder.
This is how Dave Chen and Joanna did it, and I want to be respectful.
Okay.
I don't want to, like, start a robot revolution over here.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay, sure.
Okay. I found out that there is a game via that, a Westworld game via that cylinder, and there's an Easter egg where if you go into a particular saloon or brothel or something and you ask the lady in charge if she knows Joanna Robinson, you, like, get a secret thing.
What?
Yeah, that's right.
Wait, how does this connect with the
Joanna,
cylinder?
If you're listening, it's like a game. So this is, like, very limited understanding since I don't have one of those cylinders.
And how is this connected to the
will.
Initiative?
Because you said Easter egg, and I got really excited.
Oh, my God.
I just thought it was so cool. Imagine if your name was an Easter egg in a game.
That is
about
very cool.
A really good, complicated show.
Okay.
That is... interesting to watch.
This has been your Easter egg segment from Jenny O'Neill.
Sorry, I just want to talk about Joanna. You got to talk to her for like an hour last episode. Hi, Joanna.
Okay, so moving right along, we are in the camp or at campus now, and
yeah,
Buffy is
just like
trying to bait Spike.
Yeah.
And of course, they're trying to catch Spike, and of course, Riley sees Buffy and is like, we're absolutely not using her as bait. I will not allow it. Which is very, very stands in stark contrast to Xander's relationship to Cordelia, which was always using her as bait.
But somehow it was like hot when Cordelia was bait. Is that fucked up?
I mean, you know, we all have our things.
Yeah.
Okay. Listen, not to bring up Joanna too many times in this fucking episode, but she pointed out to me that Riley changes his clothes like 18 times.
Wait. Oh my God, yes. He changes. Wait, but we need to go back for 1 second.
Yeah, please.
Right? He changes
please.
In the bushes to go out to talk to Buffy. But before that, they come down in plain clothes, mm-hmm. and they start talking to Professor Walsh. And then the next scene happens with them there, and they're wearing totally different clothes. Did they all strip down and put on their military clothes in front of Professor Walsh? Inappropriate.
Wow.
She is a professor. Just mentioning.
Wow. Is she a professor?
Well...
So, right. So Riley is like, Buffy, what are you doing here? And she's like,
what are you doing here?
And it's just like very...
Wait, when he first walks out, she like cocks a stake at him really hard.
Yeah.
And then just like puts it away. Like he didn't notice that?
I know. I mean, he is a trained operative. So
they're both distracted though.
Because they're both trying to not let on.
Diffuse the situation and get away from it as quickly as possible.
Which is fun.
And get the other person to safety too.
Right.
Because Spike is about.
Totally. And I like it. I like it. But I'm really not here for how handsy Riley is with Buffy in the scene, and Buffy is also not here for it.
Yeah, no.
There's a lot of times when she's literally like, dude, get your fucking hands off me. I'm fine.
Yeah.
There's a moment when she's like, so you think men are fine and women aren't? And he's like,
you think that boys can take care of themselves and girls need help? And he says,
yes.
Riley,
so,
you're hurting my case over here, but
couple
also
more points for Team Kristen over here.
That gives Buffy the opportunity to say that is so Teutonic. Also, I just feel like, you know, he's just getting to know Buffy and she's going to help change his perspective on that topic. And also, I love when she's like,
I'm going to kick you off this show.
No! I love when she's like, I need space. And he's like, we're outdoors. And then she's like, I need some alone time.
Emotional space.
I need some space. I need some space emotionally. I mean, emotionally.
Oh, yeah.
It's like really, really good.
It is. My notes are Riley is just trying to help by Riley because I don't fucking like it. Oh my God, get your hands off of her.
Yeah.
Whatever. Totally. We already talked about that. So okay. Then we hear scream and everybody.
And they both run away.
Okay. Yes.
Yes. There's a knock at Willow's door.
Yeah, this is rough. But
and
also,
she's like, come in.
Oh,
but you love Spike, so it's fine.
No, listen, I have talked at length and will continue to about what is wrong with me that I love Spike so much.
Yeah, yeah.
I cannot help it. But this is rough. But
something to note. Like right when he comes in, he's like, I'm definitely going to kill you, but I could leave you dead or I could make you like me. Hot. We already love Vamp Willow.
Right. I know. That's literally in my note. Ooh, a Vamp Willow offer. Like, we'll take it. Everybody in the studio audience is voting for Vamp Willow, please.
We see him attack her and it just go like, obviously. Okay. Obviously there are parallels that like, we don't even like, we can talk about, but like, they, you know, articulate themselves with like the use of force, the taking of something, use of power, mm-hmm. and taking away somebody's like autonomy. But this is like more than we've seen, I think, in most cases. Like, and it's like two characters that we like are invested in. And it's like, it's rough to see like this duration of this side of Spike with the straddling and like the music is up and like it feels really bad.
Especially, I mean, it would always feel bad, but like we're especially at a time when we're like, oh, what the fuck? Because this is like obviously super sexual assaulty. We're on a college campus, you know.
Right.
There's a lot
and
of shit
they,
here.
I think that the people who make the show are thinking, then we'll come back from commercial and it'll be this hilarious, like this like double talk, like impotence thing, right? And like, that does, you know, help, but it's
very close. And they didn't have to go that hard.
Yeah, they really didn't have to go that hard. I read that they wanted people to think Willow was actually dying.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
But I still don't think they had to go that hard.
Yeah, it really didn't need to be like this.
And at no point did I really think Willow was going to die.
No, ineffective and also offensive.
Yeah. And like, if the scene that preceded it wasn't as intense as it was, I'm a big fan of the scene that happens after the commercial break, if you will, with this. Like, I mean, the impotence thing is, like, funny, whatever. But I just really enjoy the, like, Willow getting, like, really discouraged and, like, oh, it's like everybody's always telling me that I'm, like, a sister to everybody and, like, whatever. And he's like, I've thought about biting you. And
yeah, when like, you were, like, wearing this one particular
this
number.
Fuzzy pink number.
And she's like, I couldn't tell. And he's like, I hate being obvious.
Right. Like, it's just, like, the dialogue is really fun and good.
Then she's like, why don't we wait a half hour and try again?
We learn that Spike is 126, approximately half the age of Angel.
Hot.
Yeah, just a
wee younger man.
Just a wee pup. Mm-hmm. Just a wee pup. I mean, a human could almost live that long.
So what are we thinking that vampires sire someone approximately every 50 years?
That's like 100 and...
No, but there's somebody
in between. Right. Yeah, I guess. I mean, it seems like they sire a lot more than that, but maybe they really sire their...
It seems like they sire when they're recruiting.
Mm-hmm.
For like, and they're less particular.
And then for love.
For love.
For love. Love. Ah, miss you, Drew.
Drusilla, you fill my heart with dread, and still I'm led right back to you.
I mean, we, you know, any chance, we don't get a lot of chances to play that Drew jingle, so we just tossed it in there today.
The more that I think about, I'm sorry.
Yes.
To bring it down.
It's okay.
But the more that I think about this, like playing this like impotence thing,
mm-hmm.
Off of the scene that precedes it, like the more that I'm kind of like bummed out on it, like the parallels that like we're like kind of used to seeing in not just the show, but other vampire pop culture,
mm-hmm.
that like, you know, it's like virility.
Right.
feeding. Mm-hmm. It's like this whole thing. I know they're evil, so maybe I'm just like looking too far, like reaching too far to be like, oh, does it have to like?
I mean, you mean you don't like the attachment.
Maybe I just hate the preceding scene.
I think you hate the preceding scene. I think we all hate the preceding scene.
Infringing on my enjoyment of this delightful romp.
I think that's totally fair. I think that's super fair. And then we have like one of the worst fight scenes that I think I've ever seen. It's just very confusing. It's very cloudy. There's fireworks going off in the hallway.
I think it's confusing for everybody. Buffy fires the flare gun that we saw earlier. We see a gun. We know it's going to get fired at some point. Right. It's a flare gun. Temporarily damaging the eyesight of all the guys wearing the night vision stuff.
Right. And I get like the point. Like I know they're supposed to not recognize each other or whatever, but it's just like
so much. But also Riley does recognize Buffy or thinks he recognizes Buffy.
Yeah. He definitely, I mean she doesn't see anything. He sort of
he sees her shape and is immediately like abort.
Right, but I don't think, I mean, I don't remember, but it didn't seem like he knew because
oh my god, he's Teutonic. Maybe he just like was like, wow, this is like a 5'2" dude, tiny woman.
Right. No, he probably thought it was a small man.
I think he could see that it was a girl wearing a slutty outfit.
And you think just that
was the joke. I know, I just think he was like, I'm fucking Teutonic. I'm not going to like keep fighting this tiny girl.
Right. Okay. Well.
No, you don't think so?
No, maybe. I hadn't really thought about
it. He either recognizes Buffy
I don't think he does.
That is a woman.
Because he's super chill with Buffy in the last scene. Like
that's true.
Yeah. If he had recognized that it was Buffy, then.
If anybody has intel.
I think he doesn't know yet. I think he doesn't know yet. And I think that like. I could have had this fight scene be about half of its length. I get it. Got it. Whatever. So, of course, they don't recover Spike. Spike gets away again.
When
will we ever see Spike again?
I don't know. In the credits
and
next
Walsh,
episode.
That is my literal note. Walsh is pissed.
Me too.
So pissed.
Riley looks good with his like wet hair like
okay,
back.
You've had enough. You're cut off. You're fucking cut off.
Right? Love a
enough, Riley. You bet your Riley Max for the episode.
How dare you?
But yeah, Walsh is pissed. They lost the thing, but we learn now about the chip in this little exchange because she's like, is the chip at least working? And Riley is like, it is. He's not able to harm another human being. So now we know
another living creature.
Right. So
he can't even like catch a rat.
So he can't eat. Can vampires starve?
I think they can grow very weak. We saw Angel in a flashback get very, very weak. I don't know what the duration, like how long they can.
Probably, maybe they just are super weak, but they get killed like from another thing because they're so weak.
Right. So he's got I think probably his only option is like go to the butcher.
Oh, yeah. Right. Of course, the butcher.
Of course. Sunnydale butcher.
Yeah, you can just call up the butcher and get the Angel special.
And I'd like the number 7, the Angelus.
And then after we leave the initiative, we get this one last scene with Riley and Buffy, which is just set up. And this is why I don't think that they recognize each other, because they think it's just set up to let us know that they didn't recognize each other.
Did Willow tell you I like cheese?
What a line.
How is this guy not just like covered in women?
Oh, my God. And with that, since you're all riled up, Jenny, why don't we fucking go to our final segment of this episode, the Sexual Tension Awards.
Absolutely. Okay, hey, it's time for the Sexual Tension Awards. Yes. First of all, let's talk about last episode's winners from Wild at Heart.
A rough episode for sexual tension.
Oh my God. Coming in fourth place with, are you ready? 1%.
One percent.
Xander and Thrift. That makes me so happy. If we had 503 votes, so that means 5 people voted Xander and Thrift.
All right, okay.
In third place, 22%, we had Willow and Buffy's Academic Excellence.
Nice.
Willow and Buffy's Brain. Second place, it can't be denied, even though we hate looking at it, with 27%, Veruca and her fucking microphone.
Yeah, did you see that somebody started a Twitter account that's just Veruca's mic?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Amazing.
Pretty fun.
And coming in first place with 50% of the vote, Spike and villainous monologuing from afar.
Yeah, did good. Good job, Spike.
Good job, Spike.
Spike hasn't gotten an award in a minute.
And he earned it.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what.
He really did.
Okay, for this episode, for the initiative, let's talk about your options. Yeah. Another, like, romanceless.
God, it's like last season, we were just awash in sexual tension.
Yeah, I guess we don't even need people to be actually engaging in romance.
No.
We just need some heat.
Yeah, we don't have
intended
a lot of
or
heat
otherwise.
So far, but Jenny's been digging deep, so.
Yeah, so here we go. Vote on these if you'd like. Harmony and her unicorn poster. Harmony and her unicorn poster. That Lisa Frank looking shit.
Yeah.
Okay. Next up, we've got Buffy and the Froyo Machine. They had a heated exchange.
Very heated.
There was something there.
Mm-hmm.
Then how about Giles and Xander, or Jander, if you will, and a sense of purpose. That's a thruple nomination.
Okay.
Giles, Xander, and a sense of purpose.
Okay.
And Willow and the Death of Love. She's really into it.
She really is.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a hard one. You know my vote is going to my favorite vampire of all time, Harmony.
It's might be a close race. Some really great options.
Okay.
Please cast your vote on our Twitter poll, which will be up momentarily. We are at BufferingCast.
Yes, and many of you were very upset with me last week, even though I've been doing this, or 2 weeks ago, I've been doing it this way for quite some time, that I leave the Twitter poll up for 3 days. Well, listen.
3 days is not enough.
Not enough. The people have demanded a week, and the people shall get their week.
People are busy.
Yes, the Twitter poll will be up for a week now, so don't come complaining to me. You got 7 whole days to get your votes in for the episode. And I, for one, am wondering what the fuck the mailing address for a unicorn is going to be, but we've got some time to figure it out, Jenny.
Definitely on a cloud somewhere.
Yeah, that's true. Yes, 1234 Cloud Lane.
Yes.
Great.
Well, that about does it for this episode of Buffering, of course. I, as you may be aware, but I never want you to forget, am Jenny Owen Youngs, and when I'm not making this podcast with Kristen, I'm usually writing and recording songs. You can learn more about me at jennyowenyoungs.com, and you can give me a shout on Twitter at Jenny Owen Youngs.
Yes, and I am Kristen Russo, but you can find more about me on my website, kristinnoline.com. That's KristinNoeline. Or you could just listen to this jingle and remember it forever.
Kristen with an I, N-O-E-L-I-N-E.
You can also find me on Twitter and Instagram at Kristen Noeline. Learn about the work that I do with LGBTQ people and their families and loved ones and educators. I do a ton of stuff with, especially these days, putting a lot of focus over at mykidisgay.com, which is a resource for parents and loved ones and educators of LGBTQIA people. So check that all out.
Buffering the Vampire Slayer is on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at BufferingCast. And you can always email us. I know I have a lot of extra.
555 movie phone.
I have so much extra zest this episode. You can always email us at bufferingthevampireslayer@gmail.com.
Yes, and if you want to support our work, we would just adore it if
that
you
would
did. So many of you already do. You can support us in a very simple way by going on over and rating and reviewing us on iTunes.
Please.
It's a way of letting people find the podcast and find each other. You can also go on over to our store where we have crop tops and mugs and zines about sexual tension between our two favorite slayers, Buffy and Faith.
I think there's a three-way tie between our favorite slayers.
Well, the two slayers we would like to make out together the most. And, you know, plenty of Smash the Demon Lizard Patriarchy t-shirts and onesies, all sorts of fun stuff. BufferingTheVampireSlayer.com. Click on shop. And last but certainly not least, you can join us over on Patreon. We have a thriving community over there. We just added a new level, the $25 level. And actually, I'm going to remind you, I reminded you at the top, but I'm going to remind you here at the back end as well, that if you want to get the first round of exclusive merch, that's a t-shirt right now. We know the t-shirt is going to say, Giles in the Streets, Ripper in the Sheets.
Hot.
And then we're voting on an enamel pin. It seems like it's going to be between an enamel pin that says the council is trash or...
support your local alewife. So some really good shit happening over, and that's exclusive. You only get it if you're at the $25 level, but you have to pledge before the end of August to get that first round of merch, because we need, you know, you have to be a patron for a certain amount of time to get those. So if you want to get in on that train, now is the time to do it. You have till the end of August to get that merch, which will ship at the end of September.
Yes.
I think that's all I got, Jenny.
Well then, till next time.
Ah-woo! Really getting in some extra stuff from leftover from last episode. Ooh, yeah.
By some froyo today. I know my preternatural grace ain't always in play, but who has time for ballpoint pens when you're trying to support your friends? 'Cause Willow, she's been moping, and you know that I was hoping we could dance until she smiles again. Don't mind cemetery grind. This is one of those times I need to party, please. I need to party, please. Ayo, looks like there's some commandos to chase. What's underneath that ski mask? But this task ain't great. I don't have time for Teutonic men. It's more important to support your friends. 'Cause Willow, she's been glooming, but you know I've been assuming that we'll dance until she smiles again. I need to party, please. I need some party cheese. I want a night off. Xander and Harmony, they could fill in for me. Every headliner needs a break so they don't break. Ayo. Spike got into the dorms, oh my god. Willow, my best friend, she ain't getting bitten on my watch. When will Spike learn that this is my town? I'll kick his ass and still have time to get down. I don't mind cemetery grind. One of those times I need to party, please. I want some party cheese. I need to party, please. Bring me some party cheese.
Hello, dear stranger. I'd like to introduce you to something new, or perhaps something very, very old. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine is a horror fantasy medical mystery following the titular monk turned traveling medical investigator. Follow Radolf as he navigates a nightmare world in which viruses are gods and the human race are not their favored children. Steeped in history and an aesthetic that can only be described as a combination of occult academia and laboratory Judaica, the Heresies of Radolf Burntwine have been described as Umberto Eco meets H.P. Lovecraft. For more information, check out the Patreon at thorb.info. But take care, dear stranger, for some truths are best left unknown.